Your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. Progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Well. I don't know. What a difference an election makes. What a difference. I don't know. Maybe you have plans for the future. Story out of the New York Times, Sunday. John Kerry is pressing his Swift boat case. John Kerry, the article in the Times is interesting. He is now, in some ways, pushing harder after the election to prove his presence. We're talking about 30 years after Vietnam War, 2 years after Kerry's failed presidential bid. I think it would be fair to say that most Americans have moved on. Some Americans have wondered why it mattered at all whether he went to Cambodia or that the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth accused him of making it all up. But the fact of the matter is that the battle over Kerry's wartime service rages on out of the limelight, and some people say more heatedly than ever. Because those on Kerry's side have gathered new evidence to support their case. And what is fascinating about this story is that those in opposition to Kerry, they continue on in their battle. You know, the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, how's that? That's funny. But the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth gave $100,000 to a group that promptly sued Kerry for interfering with the release of a film that was critical of him. Oh, the battle continues. There's a lesson in that. The battle must be continuously fought. There's a lesson in this. The battle against the St. Louis School Board must be continuously fought. Craig Williams is a dishonest person. Sneaky, even. And you can't take him at his word. So the battle must be fought. We won a couple of members, but the battle is far from over. Don't lay down your weary head yet, because it's too early in the game to be tired. It's too early in the game to be tired. Oh, 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about, huh? The principles behind the Swift Boat continue to press their issues. The war is not over for them. Yes, Kerry lost the election, but they ain't done with him. They want to trash him beyond. I mean, they're waging war. And John O'Neill, who wrote the book, Unfit for Command, criticizes Kerry on talk shows, solicits money for conservative causes and candidates. In a South Carolina paper, William Schmette recently brought up again his allegation that he was on board the small skimmer when Kerry received himself. When Kerry received the injury. And the injury, this was the injury that led to the Purple Heart. And this is the guy that is saying, John Kerry injured his own self. Swift Boat message boards, anti-Kerry websites still boil and labor with accusations that Kerry fabricated the military reports that led to his decorations. And what Kerry was, didn't we say this during the election? You should have dropped your pants. You should have shown them your war wound. Lifted your shirt, showed it to them. Kerry said, They lied and lied about everything. How many lies do you get to tell before someone calls you a liar? How many times can you be exposed in America today? Here's the thing. I know that Carrie's people are going to put together the dossier, put together all in a very lawyerly fashion. I'm sure that those that are involved in this are going to, but here's the thing. It is now part of the American, psyche now. It is now part of the American psyche. And the moment, I believe, that magical moment in history when the accusations for the incredible accusation that you weren't wounded and didn't earn a Purple Heart, you should have responded with an outrage that it should have been felt around the world. That moment to respond in that way is going to be difficult now. And here's what Carrie says. He says, I don't want to dwell on the accusation of the mistakes of the 2004 campaign. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. But then on the other hand, see, here's the thing. He doesn't want to talk about what he didn't do in the 2004 election. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But on the other hand, the man's calling you a lie to your face. He's saying things that are physically impossible. He's saying that he was a third man in a boat, that there's no way that a boat could hold that many people. So in February 2005, some of John Kerry's supporters formed their own group in 2005, right after November 2004. The Patriot Project, to defend veterans who take unpopular positions, particularly against the Iraqi war. One of their first tasks was to visit newspaper editorial boards in defense of MRTA. The group has sent a letter to the man who said that he was in the boat with Kerry. And we want to meet with you, they said. We want to meet with you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz, I just want my name is Kenneth. I want to just let you know you done woke me up so much on this show now. I just was fumbling through my radio and caught your show one day, and man, you done woke me up on the schools, the Pentagon, the Clintons, the everything. You done woke me up. Keep on, sister.
All right, Kenneth.
Keep on with it.
Thank you so much.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609. That would be my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Embedded in the story of the veterans who know the truth, who have come together to create an organization to defend veterans who take unpopular positions. Embedded in this still is the issue of why didn't Kerry fight back? Why didn't Kerry defend yourself? I don't know. I cannot explain that. But Kerry has said, we should have put more money behind it. I take responsibility for it. It was my mistake. They spent something like $30 million and we didn't. That's just a terrible imbalance when someone is lying about you. He posted, understand that Kerry posted some military documents on his campaign website. He allowed reporters to view his medical records, but resisted open access to them as unnecessarily intrusive. I'm not even going to put this in the category of hindsight is 2020. I'm not going to even put that in that category. He called you a lie about a thing that is, should be part of who you are. And you should have gone nuclear on him. I don't mean with the bomb. I just mean with your attitude. It should have been a scorched earth response to him. And he didn't. And he didn't. You're on the wake-up call.
Top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
The rest of the day to you, D.
Thank you so much. You know, when you tell a lie and get caught on it, you always want to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it is a lie.
Well,
you know, because I mean, sometimes you ignore people for a moment,
but see,
and say it's not really worth defending. Or
and I agree with that, Dee. But I also there's also this elitist attitude that comes from some that yes, the truth. But I, you know, I just really I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
But you pass that.
You can take
that initially, but you get past that, especially when people keep, you know, saying that you don't have it, then you can show it.
Yeah.
But there must be something to it if he's not going to fight it.
Or he's a coward. Or he's a coward.
Cowards tend to show scars quicker.
I understand. I'm just saying. He just doesn't defend himself. Or he just says, oh, well, bump that. I don't care anymore. You know, I know the truth, and I'm moving on. I know the truth, I don't know what the answer is.
Okay.
I'm just saying he should have fought. I think we could agree on that. He should have fought.
Should have fought hard. Should still be fighting.
That's fact.
Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, you remember back here when the school board election. And, I know it was Bosley was one that was pushing to get the old slate back in there. But wasn't it, what is her name, Anila Rashid or whoever it is?
Jamila Rashid?
Yeah. It was one of the ladies, I remember you saying, she was pushing to get this old and was working for Freeman.
For
Francis Slade to get the old slate back in.
Are you talking about in the last school board election?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we had to, one of the questions that was raised was what was Yaphet El Amin's position?
Right.
Not Nasheed.
Oh, I had the wrong one. Okay.
Yes, you did.
El-Amin.
Yes, you did. Yaphet El Amin, what was her position on the candidates? And there was a question of whether or not she was going to support Buford. And she was going to support Buford.
Oh.
And we kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and she finally came out, she and her husband finally came out with a position supporting both of them. But it was way, like, days before the election.
Oh, you know, because my husband and I was talking about that, and I said, well, we need to know who these people were that was supporting Francis Slade, because if these people like Bosley support his slate that way, you know.
Well, Bosley has been wrong on so many efforts.
I think it's time for his Ward to get him out of there, because if they support Slade, then, you know, no telling what they would do support once they, you know, where he's in there now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, you know, if they do that, then they would do anything.
Yeah, Bosley supported all of Slade's people, and we have to take a break.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn. I'm a bus office, the crookedness. I did mingle with the good people.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. 44 on either side of 109. All traffic has been switched to the eastbound lanes as road construction is going on, and they're taking care of some lane business there. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and T.R. Hughes. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Zocker Park. Everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 at 44. That traffic's building on either side. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Creek Bridge. Building from midspan all the way into downtown. Westbound 64, no problems reported. 55. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at LaCleese Landing looks good this hour. Northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Southbound Lindbergh at Page, look for an accident on the ramp to westbound Page. Vehicles are on the shoulder, expect no delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who works on your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy. Good chance of showers, low around 70. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, high around 85. And Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny by the afternoon with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and 72, which is the same at Lambert Field. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, huh, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Hello, Juan.
I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Muttke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Holding back the years, thinking about the fear I've had so long. That's gone. Strangled by the wishes I begged for, hoping for the unmaker. Get to me the sooner or later.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll-free, long-distance me, get to me. Now, there are those that are going to say, you know, y'all need to check yourselves. I don't know. You just make too much stuff out of stuff. Okay, fair enough. I've been right more times than not, so I'm comfortable with making some stuff out of stuff. So bear with me. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who doesn't know if his family got here legally or illegally, forgetfulness. Alberto Gonzalez, who says that he should be able to spy on anybody when he wants to. Alberto Gonzalez, who defended torture. Alberto Gonzalez, who says that shut up, sit down. Yeah, we're going to take your names. And we're going to find out what your phone, who you're calling. We're not going to do anything with that. Trust me. That Alberto Gonzalez. And Robert Mueller, the FBI director, and senior officials and career prosecutors at the Justice Department said that they were prepared to quit if the White House directed them to relinquish evidence they seized when they went into the office of a sitting United States congressperson. Showdown at the OK Corral. This is another one of those, okay, you let the dogs out, and now you're mad because the dogs are doing what dogs do. George W. Bush, because he wants his people to be reelected. George Bush has said, okay, I'm putting a freeze on that evidence that you, or not even the evidence, the stuff that you took when you went to this congressman's office. I'm putting a freeze on it for 45 days. Nobody can see it. Now Alberto Gonzalez is saying, I'll quit if you say I can't have it, huh? And George Bush is trying to put the, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't let the, you know, you can't put the dogs back in the doghouse after you've teased them, fought them, told them the meat was out here. And now you're saying, oh, go back in your house. No, you can't. You let the dogs out. You told Alberto Gonzalez, there are no rules. You said that. You said spy on him, Alberto. You said gather their records, Alberto. You said, yeah, Alberto, I'm down with torture, too. Give me a ruling. Give me a permission to torture people. We all in this together, Alberto Gonzalez. Well, come on. Now that Alberto Gonzalez is saying, shoot, this feels good. I can do anything I want to. I can walk up into a congressperson's office, never been done in the 200-year history. History don't mean nothing to me. I'm going to take his stuff because he hasn't responded to a subpoena. I'm going to take his stuff. Help me with this. Would you go into, I don't know, Dick Cheney's office and take his stuff? Yeah, I was smart enough to say I'll be able to do it. It's partisan. Because don't tell me you haven't had reason to go up into Tom DeLay's office and snatch some of his stuff. Don't tell me you haven't had a reason to go take a antique $17,000, $27,000 commode from the Dukester's office. Heck, his office was a ship in the harbor. The Dukester. Y'all didn't have a reason to go up and snatch his stuff up on that? Come on. Come on. You let the dogs out, boy George. You let the dogs out. Gonzalez and Bush met on Thursday morning. Right after, and it's unclear whether Alberto Gonzalez said, you know, you let the dogs out, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna quit if you don't let me get, you don't let me eat. What is it? What was that line from, that one movie, you get to, yeah, eat what you kill, keep what you kill, with, Chronicles, I can't remember the name of the movie. It was on HBO over the weekend. But you get to kill what you eat, keep what you kill. And if those are the rules in this White House, you get to keep what you kill. I'm certain that it comes as mighty disappointing to Alberto Gonzalez that he doesn't get to keep what he kills. That he wouldn't get to keep what he kills. FBI officials would not comment on Friday on Mueller's thinking. The White House said that they devised this 45-day plan as a way to cool tempers in Congress and the Justice Department. Tensions were particularly high at the Justice Department and the FBI, who viewed the congressional protest led by Senate Speaker Dennis Hassert, a proxy fight for battles likely to come over criminal investigations into other Republicans in Congress. I guess they started with the nobody. And one of the interesting things is I watched the Sunday morning Gab Fabs. And nobody wanted to bring up the R word, the race issue. Nobody wanted to bring up the race issue. And I thought that was very interesting. In America, at least we need to bring it up, raise it as a possibility before everybody smacks it down and says, oh, no, not in America. It wouldn't be about race. Of course it is. Of course it is. Who are they going to practice on for the first time in the 200-year history? Who do they think that they... Why did Nels Moss go after two black guys for the death penalty for the deaths of the Carey sisters instead of the white guy who confessed? Because it's easier to get a conviction. It's easier to get a belief thing going with a black guy. On Friday, Senator Trent Lott, Republican of Mississippi, chairman of the Rules Committee, said he had been meeting with the Senate counsel to explore potential procedures and saying that the Justice Department has to work this out with us. We're not going to stand for this. I am perfectly willing to get it on with the administration and take it right to the Supreme Court if they want to argue over it. Let me get this straight again. Bill Frist, who's about 118 years old, said, I want to get it on with the White House. Okay, as creepy as that is, I have to go back to my original phrase, who let the dogs out, George? You told these guys that they are above the law, that there are no laws, that there are no rules. Who let the dogs out, George? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Take part in some firefly fun at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area on Thursday, June 8th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Find out what fireflies eat, how they live, and why they light. We'll be outside on a firefly hunt, so dress for the weather. Register by calling 314-877-6014. Something to light up the night from WGNU.
Hello out there, radio land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. It appears the massacre of civilians that took place in the Iraqi town of Haditha back in November is now becoming a national smudge upon the record of the Marine Corps. High-ranking officials say the initial accounts of how the civilians died were false. The episode took place when a lance corporal was killed by a roadside bomb. The Marines' version is that 15 civilians also died in the same blast, and then when small arms fire broke out, another 8 insurgents were also killed. But it now turns out that the Marines in that company became enraged over their comrade's death and went on a killing rampage, entering several homes and shooting everyone they found in them, including children. A video turned up that clearly showed the residents were unarmed at the time they were shot, most at close range and some execution style. Representative John Murtha of Pennsylvania said he has been told that the people were killed because the troops overreacted. Now, the Marine Corps says as many as a dozen soldiers could be court-martialed over the incident. 3 officers were relieved of duty 2 months ago. There have been a number of reports of American abuses coming from aid agencies working inside Iraq, but very few have ever been reported on by the mass media, and even fewer have been even looked into by the U.S. government. The fact that this killing at Haditha is on such a large scale is making it hard to come up with a plausible denial for what happened. The number of civilian deaths that occurred during the siege of Fallujah in November of 2004 has never been clearly reported either because of opposition by the military. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Luangas.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memory. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
That's what you say, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me, for that I'll love you forever. A promise is a promise in my eyes. Can't say you're gonna just.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The thing I wanted to tie together with this whole who let the dogs out piece, and this is where people, you know, reasonable people can disagree. Reasonable minds can take exception, but I think that in the long run, I will be right on this. A whole lot of people upset at the FBI and the whole policing thing that goes on at the that went on in the FBI breaking into a congressman's office. Raiding a congressman's office. Is there a coincidence? Is there a coincidence? Let me just ask it. Let me just raise the issue this way. Is there a coinky dink between the gunfire or the raid and the gunfire false alarm in the U.S. Capitol a week later? Tactical teams wearing flak jackets and police sniffer dogs swarm through congressional buildings after an erroneous report of gunfire forced a lockdown of the Capitol office complex. Now, a Republican by the name of Jim Saxon has said has spoken to Fox News. And said, I was the source of the report. I'm the one that reported to the gunfire. And that's fine. That's good. And then maybe there's no mystery here. But I don't know. I don't know. Do you fear people back into their place? And the third prong of this story, this who let the dogs out story, didn't Cynthia McKinney talk about how overzealous the congressional cops were? And didn't the radical right try to push her and Democrats alike? They made her apologize, didn't they? Cops could never go overboard. It was her fault. It was her fault. Huh. Who's howling now? And the part of me is, are the Republicans really concerned that, or maybe the Republicans are howling right now? It's not that they are so much concerned that Alberto Gonzalez will go after their stuff, but if he sets the precedent that the FBI can make midnight runs on congressional offices, then, maybe if the Democrats take over control, they're concerned about the stage having been set by the Republicans, that it's a fair game. Or maybe there's a Republican or two or three that maybe have some illegal stuff up in their office. A little bit of pot hanging around. A little, what do they call that, little nose candy up in their offices, and they're freaking out thinking that their offices are untouchable. A few videos that they don't want anybody to see or know about. And I guess another question to ask is, do Americans care? And I think, again, who let the dogs out? This same good government has been trying to convince Americans that it's okay to spy on us. That it's okay to take our records and look when we don't know that you're looking. That Americans are supposed to have a trust you attitude. Republicans have been pushing that too, right? Trust your government. So if Americans trust their government and aren't going to get all upset about their own records being rifled through, you think they're going to give a flying horse patoot about your records being taken? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Y'all have been the ones saying, submit yourself. Offer yourself up on the altar of law and order. It's the terrorists. We as Americans out here should be willing to take anything and everything in pursuit of terrorists. Okay, so they went into your office. So what? Because that's what you've told us should be our response. Who let the dogs out, y'all? Who let the dogs out? Huh? Huh? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing heaven.
splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Journalist Kimberly Dozier is now at a U.S. military hospital in Germany. She's being treated for the injuries she received in a roadside bombing in Iraq. ABC's Hillary Brown is in Baghdad.
Dozier has now been flown out to the U.S. Air Force base in Ramstein, Germany, after emergency surgery here. She is badly wounded in the legs and neck. This brings to 95 the number of journalists killed in Iraq since the U.S.-led invasion in March 2003. That is more than those who died covering World War II or the conflicts in Vietnam.
Dozier's aunt Marion says it's not the first time her niece has put herself in danger. She snuck into China from Vietnam to report on the release of U.S. Navy flyers in 2001.
She called Dan Rather in New York and was telling him exactly what was happening through her cell telephone. And he told her, thank you, Kimberly, now get out of there.
And Dozier's cameraman and her sound technician were killed. The death toll from a weekend earthquake in Indonesia is now over 5,400 and expected to rise. Officials say aid is now getting in on a regular basis, but it's not getting to the hardest hit areas fast enough. Most kids work summer jobs to pay for college. That's what 36% of teenagers told a poll by Junior Achievement. 28% they say they worked for extra spending money. Police in Greenville, South Carolina, are looking for clues into the strangulation of a Clemson student. Tiffany Sowers was found dead with a bikini top tied around her neck. Her mother, Bren, says her daughter lived life to the fullest.
She was just an intense little girl that loved life and did everything, as, you know, 100%.
Police say there was no sign of forced entry to the student's dorm room. Former President Bill Clinton will honor the late Senator Lloyd Benson today with a eulogy at Benson's memorial in Houston. The Texas politician, who was also the Secretary of the Treasury, died last week at the age of 85. This is ABC News.
And the pot is up to $500,000.
The Poker Grand Championship. You're gambling with the best, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and it's doing nothing for your poker face.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H. Oh.
Wherever you go, cleanse, cool, and soothe with Preparation H portable wipes. Four times bigger than Tux pads and individually wrapped to take anywhere, discreetly.
Ah. I'll raise $5,000.
Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief. To go. Use as directed.
For great deals on the hottest technology products this Memorial Day week? Then rush into Office Depot for amazing deals on everything from cameras to computers, like Toshiba notebook computers, starting at just $399.99 after mail-in rebate and while supplies last. Remember, this week you'll find great savings throughout the store. Office Depot means high tech and low price.
A crazy claim, you decide for yourself. ABC's Alex Stone has the story.
The International Bird Rescue Center plans to raise money by selling an odd X-ray on eBay. Workers say a duck came in with a broken wing. They gave it an X-ray, and they saw what looked a lot like an image of an alien head inside the duck's stomach. Marie Travers runs the Bird Center.
Just looked like, you know, the stereotypical big alien head with the big eyes.
The duck died of its injuries. They've yet to open it up to see what might be lurking in the bird's stomach. The X-ray even comes with a certificate of authenticity from the Bird Rescue Center. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
If you're renting an apartment, you'll pay more this year, more than you usually do in increases. The National Association of Realtors tells USA Today they're up over 5% on a national average. It's because more people have jobs and more apartment buildings are going condo. Now, what you pay for the apartment, you'll save on your Internet service. The Pew Internet Project says the price of high-speed web access is down considerably. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News update brought to you by Midas. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Taking a look at the news, police in South Carolina are investigating the murder of a Clemson University student from Ladue. 20-year-old Tiffany Marie Sowers was found dead Friday at her apartment in central South Carolina. Sowers had apparently been strangled. There's no word on any suspects, and a funeral mass is planned later this week in Ladue. In other news this morning, with so many baby boomers staying on the job, the number of people with arthritis in the workplace is growing. Kathy Donovan Hansen, a researcher at the Missouri Arthritis Rehabilitation Research and Training Center, says people can help symptoms by not staying chained to their desks.
People need to be able to get up and move around at least once an hour. That doesn't mean an extended break, but it does mean to be able to get up out of the chair and move away from the desk and stretch.
Hansen says in order to control arthritis symptoms while at work, make sure you have proper chair support and good climate control. And on the topic of climate, the Weather Channel's Jim Cantore is reminding residents in the Midwest to be prepared during tornado season. Cantore says tornadoes sometimes come with little warning.
You have to be vigilant. I mean, unlike a hurricane where, you know, I'm standing on the beach 5 days before landfall, tornado outbreaks can happen quick. You can go from sunshine to a tornado on the ground in 45 minutes. The good news is we have a lot of very good tools to look at some of the parameters of the atmosphere the morning of, the day before. And usually when the big outbreaks are there, they're pretty glaring. But sometimes storms can pop up and surprise us.
There's been nearly a dozen deaths this year in Missouri as a result of violent storms. And that's a WGNU News report brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for an accident. Left shoulder and it's heavy back to Bowles. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Woods Mill. Expect normal traffic this morning. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 70 or D.R. Hughes. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Northbound 270 at Sappington and 44 is slow. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street under the Poplar Street Bridge. Very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64 looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is on the move at this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 on the 5570 looks good. And westbound Martin Luther King Bridge, nothing to report there as well. Eastbound 30 at Mauer, look for stop-and-go traffic all the way into 270. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, good chance of showers with a low around 70. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, high around 85. And Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, high around 80. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies and 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 72 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call. So up next, we'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air, air.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
another thing that Congress has seen me. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
freedom. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about. Have we found our me lie? In Iraq. We're going to talk about the killings in Iraq. We're going to talk about the impact of that and what it says about us and what it says about the Iraqi people. And we need to talk about, we have to talk about that, but we need to talk about our view of the Iraqi people. And we need to talk about honestly attempting to figure out what it is we feel and why it is we feel the way that we do, some of us do. Because the fact of the matter is America is, by and large, an isolated country. Isolated in world experience, isolated in people experience, isolated in our thoughts. We're a lonely little country bordered only by Mexico, who we want to build a fence against, and Canada. We see no reason to build a fence to keep them out. Our access to, in this country, to other people doesn't happen enough, rarely in some places. I remember once I was doing an event, watching a movie called Rosewood, watching it with a group of Catholic kids, one from a black Catholic high school, Cardinal Ritter, and one with and the other group of Catholic kids from an all-white, all-male Catholic school, SLU High. And we were having this discussion about the issues that came up in Rosewood. And one young white man said to me, 16 or 17-year-old, said to me, and I'll never forget this. He said, I never have to see, we, meaning his family, never have to see black people at all. I live out in West County. When I go to the malls, I don't see black people. When I go to the grocery stores, I don't see black people. I never have to see black people at all. I never have to have any exposure to black people at all. And embedded in that honest statement and that honest observation, I believe, is the reason why we are where we are right now with Iraq. The reason why Iraqi civilians are being slaughtered. Because in the absence of no exposure, you don't have to have, young white males are saying, I never have to have any exposure to black people in the city of St. Louis. I don't have to have exposure to black people. So God knows what kind of exposure they would have to Iraqi people or interest therein. Because the chilling part of the statement was that there wasn't even any interest. It saw no need. Because it was like saying, my name is Joe. It was such a comfortable statement. So when you have that type of, I don't have exposure to, I see no need to have exposure to, add to the mix of that and bring it on mentality. I know Boy George has said, I probably shouldn't have said that. You probably wouldn't have said that. Oh, no, you probably wouldn't have said you shouldn't have said that if your poll ratings weren't where they are. But never put that aside. In the absence of a disinterest, uninterest in people, you add on, or bring it on, want it dead or alive of people. Think you're going to have a positive understanding or view of those people? I think not. I know not. There is so much America has to learn. There is so much America needs to learn. There is so much America should be interested in learning. I'm going to talk about some of that this hour. We're going to talk about what America does not know and what America needs to know. We're going to talk this hour to Melissa Van. She is the executive director of Peace Action in New York State. She's joining us from New York. Melissa, good morning. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Great.
Melissa, you are part of an organization that went to Iran.
Well, I went with an organization called the Fellowship of Reconciliation, mm-hmm. and they're a group that has been around since the beginning of World War I.
Okay, here's what we're going to have to do, because we have a really bad line, Melissa. We're going to have to clean this line up a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so let me put you on hold for a second while we try to do that. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. And this morning, I've talked a little bit about how we feel about Iraq, how we got there. And the reason why I found it necessary to do that is because this is a country that is flexing to, moving to,
make that same, it feels like, the same administration, that same move towards Iran. And we need to put a human face on Iran. And the best way to put a human face on Iran is to talk to people who have been to Iran. It's easy to bomb what you are uninterested in. It's easy to bomb what you place no value upon. It's so easy for some. It's so easy to drop a bomb on something that you say doesn't matter anyway. And I feel that this is where we are being taken, just like we were taken there. Far too many people were taken there in the build-up to the justification of a preemptive strike against Iraq. WGNU, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to spend some time this morning talking to an executive director of Peace Action, talking about something like peace. Her name is Melissa Van, and she's joining us from New York. Melissa, good morning.
Good
welcome.
Morning.
Welcome back. Talk to us about your delegation, a peace delegation to Iran. Why did you go?
Well, you know, I realized when I heard about the opportunity that I knew nothing about this country. There were all sorts of things in the newspapers and on the TV, all these ominous rumblings that sounded suspiciously like what we heard in the lead-up to the war in Iraq. And I felt like I couldn't be as passive as I was in that situation, and that I needed to go and see for myself what was happening. You know, are these sort of vague senses of this evil country, these bad people, is it true? Is it not true? Like, what's actually happening? So that's why I decided to go.
You know, and I think that's an interesting phrase, evil country. What would make a country evil?
I know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You have millions and millions of people, and then it can be deemed evil because its policies are something that don't agree with our policies. I don't know what could make a country evil.
Because the millions and millions of people aren't the policymakers within
well,
that
it's
country.
True, but even, you know, if you even think of a government, government mm-hmm. consists of lots of people. There's generally, I would say in most governments, a fair range of opinions. I don't even know, I mean, governments certainly can do very evil things, but the word evil is very loaded.
So who went with you?
There were 22 of us. What the Fellowship of Reconciliation did is they asked for applicants. So 22 people from around the U.S., one woman from England came. Many people were retired, I think mostly just because taking 2 weeks off and spending the money it costs to go on a trip like this, you know, can be difficult for some people. But there were teachers and medical professionals and professors and people active in the peace and justice movement, business executives, people from all walks of life.
How did you decide what you were going to see? Or was it decided for you?
It was decided for us. Now, this trip was arranged, and both the U.S. government and the government in Iran were not particularly happy about it. You know, this is not something that either government is interested necessarily in.
Well, how do you know? What did the either government do to make that clear to you, that they weren't happy about it?
This is something that I heard. The people who put together the trip at the Fellowship of Reconciliation said that it took a while to work out the arrangements of the visits that we got to make in Iran with the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, the people we met with and the places we got to see came out of months, is my understanding, of negotiation with the government. And we got to see a broad range of things. We got to meet with a broad range of groups. We got to meet with, for example, there's a UNESCO human rights chair in Tehran University. We got to meet with them. We got to meet with NGOs that are for, you know, single mothers whose husbands are dead or drug addicts or in jail, and, you know, the mothers are learning skills and forming co-ops to, you know, use their skills, sell what they make, and provide for their families. We got to meet with people like that. We went to a number of cultural sites.
Did you get to talk to Iranian people?
Yes, we did. I mean, in addition to all of these meetings, which often had a lot of room for discussion and open discussion, I would say, when we were out at different places, you know, we were at a park, we were here, we were there, we would go for a walk in the morning, people would come up to us, where are you from? You know, you're American, why are you here? Are you afraid? What do you think of what's happening? You know, people approached us often. I made a few friends that way.
And I was looking at your blog, because you have a blog about your experience.
Yes.
And one of the things that you talked about is that you had these discussions with Iranian women. What are some of the stereotypes that you walked into Iran with, an understanding of the Iranian women, and how were your preconceptions met with the reality of what the women were like?
Well, I don't think that my preconceptions were very formed before I got there, but I think I had a sense that I would see a lot of women who looked oppressed, that I would not necessarily see as many out on the street, that I guess part of my sense was that if I think back to how this country was 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago in terms of where women were in society, I think I expected to see something similar to that. And it was very much not the case. Now, I was only there 2 weeks, and, you know, my perception is limited because of that, because of the language barrier and many other things, but what I saw was a much more complex picture than what I had. I would say that the women were very strong, very self-determined, it looked like, in many cases. They were very willing to say things and speak out and ask tough questions.
What were some of the tough questions that you were asked?
We went to, it wasn't necessarily an orphanage, but a place where young women, girls, are raised because their parents aren't able to because of drug addiction or whatnot. We were there. There were, you know, 8 or 10 young girls between the ages of 13 and 17, and it was really incredible. We were sitting there, and we said, do you have any questions for us? And they launched right in. You know, what do you think of this nuclear stuff? What do you think of our president? What do you think of what your president is doing? Do you think this is... And they just got right into it. It was really...
Did they seem more politically formed or more politically informed than their counterparts here in America?
Definitely. I would say that most people there, at least the ones I talked to, seemed much more politically informed. You know, most of them, I assume, they read newspapers. A lot of them have access to other media sources besides what's just in Iran through the Internet or through satellite dishes and whatnot. There is, you know, there are a number of Internet sites that are censored in the country. You know, we tried to get a couple of Western newspapers, and we couldn't get them there.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Melissa Vann. She's the executive director of Peace Action in New York State. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. We'll be back to talk more about her experience when she visited Iran. Stay with me.
Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
Does life just seem to happen to you? No plan, no direction? If it does, you're not alone. Join two life coaches, Sandy and Bobby, for an exciting and fun hour of learning how to create the designed life. We'll talk about principles of success, we'll take your calls, and provide coaching to help you achieve the life you desire. Tune in Monday nights at 9 p.m. to The Designed Life on WGNU.
Hi, this is George Cotton.
And this is Sol Wilson.
Hey, tune us in every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m.
For The Real Deal with George and Sol.
That's right, every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. We'll see you there.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust Midas Touch. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge. That accident's been cleared. No problems to report there. Westbound 70 at Riverview. There's an accident that's been cleared, but there may be some delays. Northbound 55 at 141 and 67 looks good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into TR Hees. Look for slight delays. Westbound 270 from Newhall Ferry to New Florissant. Look for some delays there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road. Look for slow volume. Westbound 5570, northbound Route 3 and westbound 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect normal traffic in your 7 o'clock commute. And westbound Kingbridge traffic, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 30 at Maher and 270, look for stop-and-go traffic as well. And Big Bend at Laclede Station, there's an accident. Emergency crews are arriving on the scene at this hour. Highway A at Pioneer, disabled vehicle. And Hall Street at Humboldt, look for an injury accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas Touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow and Thursday as well. Mostly cloudy, chance of showers today. High in the upper 80s this evening. Cloudy, chance of showers, low around 70. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, high around 85. And Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, high around 80. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies, 73 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Check out Awaken to Yourself Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof. Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news. You can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escaped sleep, walk away.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Melissa Van. She is the Executive Director of Peace Action in New York State, and she just returned from a visit to Iran. And Melissa, welcome back.
Thank you.
When you were talking to the women, because I was, again, looking at your blog, you said that there were a large number of issues that you... Okay. That there were a number of different issues that the women talked about, domestic violence, rape, education, family planning even.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that surprising? Did you expect to be able to have a conversation about domestic violence?
No, actually, I didn't expect to be able to talk about any of it. I thought, you know, maybe people would say hi to us and we'd exchange pleasantries, but I didn't expect... some people to be that open, and they were very good discussions. I think the biggest thing that I walked away with from the trip, particularly regarding women, is that, you know, Iran is a very, very big country, and like in this country, women have a very broad range of experiences. There are some things that we all hold in common, but then apart from that, sort of spans out over a very vast territory, and that's something that I think in the images that we get over here in the U.S., that range of experience gets lost, that people, our pictures of people become one-dimensional, and they lose their humanness in those pictures, and so, you know, the answers and the discussions like those about family planning, about rape, about domestic violence, those kinds of things showed that range. And I would say the most surprising thing that came out of those conversations for me was that I would say almost everybody, actually everyone I talked to about domestic violence and rape, said that their understanding is that it doesn't happen, their experience is that it doesn't happen as much there as it does here.
Mm.
Now, granted, they're part of their access to information about the U.S. is Oprah and Dr. Phil. Those are, I think, big hits on satellite TV over there. But, it doesn't happen as much over there. And they, at least from watching those shows, have been surprised at how women who deal with those things in this country are worried about getting treated, about feeling isolated, about being blamed. Those kinds of things seemed very surprising to them.
What other conceptions did they have about us? And I don't know if you can separate their views from Oprah or Dr. Phil, their formed views from Oprah or Dr. Phil, but what other conceptions did they have about us as people and us as women?
Well, I would say most people were very, very eager to hear what our perceptions were of them, and so I wasn't necessarily able to get from them what their perceptions were of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did hear that surprised me is, this was from a young college student, I don't know if she watched Oprah or Dr. Phil, she she was studying engineering or something like that. She said that there's this sense that everyone in the U.S. owns a gun and that people just kill each other at random. So that was something that I heard.
Did they have a view on what feels like in this country the drumbeat of war that is being directed towards Iran? Or did they have a sense of that? And who do they blame somebody for beating that war drum?
I think yes and no. Now I want to say just most of the people I spoke to were younger. Many of them were college educated. They all spoke some English because my Farsi is limited to a dozen phrases or so. So I don't think that what I heard may be necessarily representative of the entire population. One of the things I heard over and over again is that regardless of the particular stances, people there have a very hard time with the double standard that the U.S. presents to many other countries, and that this sort of self-proclaimed adjudicator of the world position that the U.S. has put itself into is sort of it doesn't give any space to the knowledge or the capacities that these other countries have. They really don't have a place in the discussion. When I was there, President Ahmadinejad had just sent the letter to President Bush, and people often talked about that letter. They had read that letter. It was in most of the newspapers there. And, they saw it as an opening. They saw the response to it as, a complete shutdown. People there said over and over again that they don't want war. They had 10 years of war with Iraq in the 80s. So many people died. And there was a really huge strain on everybody else, and I think people really don't want that. Everyone I talked to over and over again said, we really like Americans. We don't like your government necessarily or what it's doing right now, but we really, really like Americans. And, we may or may not like what our government is doing either, but let's talk as people.
One of the things that I think that many Americans did not absorb or did not consider in our invasion or preemptive strike on Iraq was the historical significance. And I believe all countries have historical significance, but I do not think that America did not attach to the biblical, the historical, the ancient history of that Iraq had to offer. The same is true of Iran.
Yes, I'm so glad you're mentioning that. I think that's really, really important. I mean, these cultures are thousands of years old, and we all have a lot of problems. We all have a lot of wisdom. Apart from that, these countries, Iran houses some absolutely amazing places to see and visit, and one of the most beautiful cities I have ever been to is called Isfahan, and it was built, I'm going to get these facts wrong, so everybody forgive me. I think it was built in the 16th century by one of the Safavid kings, and it's the most incredible city I've ever seen, and these beautiful double-storied brick bridges with amazing domes and beautiful squares with fountains and, incredible mosques with just absolutely gorgeous tile work and design. You walk into one of these spaces and you get a sense of how advanced the civilization was then and how adept their engineers and architects were at solving these very, complex problems.
And we're going to take a break at this point. I'm talking to Melissa Vann. She's the executive director of Peace Action in New York State. She just returned from Iran. She's sharing that with us. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
While I'm listening now, while this love has a voice that we both can hear,
register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Gil, owner of Gil's Nursery and Landscaping, located at 1318 North Vanaventer. We want to help you beautify your lawns and gardens by offering you an assortment of bedding plants, trees, and shrubs, and bulk materials such as mulch, gravel, rock, and sand. For you pet lovers, we also carry a wide variety of diamond dog food and other pet supplies. Our store hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Stop by. We're at the corner of Vanaventer and Evans, or call 534-9446.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU, 920 AM.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Dili. Civil unrest is reported in the capital of East Timor. Looters broke into the Attorney General's office and made off with computers. And file cabinets that contained sensitive information regarding a 1999 massacre were also ransacked. Buildings and residences near the presidential palace were set ablaze. The unrest began last month after 600 soldiers were fired because they protested against discrimination against Easterners inside the army. High-ranking government officials are said to be having serious disagreements on how to handle the current unrest. Armed street gangs also took part in the uprising to protest large-scale unemployment and a weak economy. Foreign Minister Ramos Horta says it is clear the government has failed the people. The files about the massacre have to do with the slaughter of as many as 1,500 people by troops from Indonesia back in 1999. Indonesia used to control East Timor, and the dead had been part of a protest for independence, which finally was gained after the United Nations called for a referendum on the matter. And a Dateline Washington. Sources say the Pentagon wants to install an anti-missile defense system in the middle of Europe to prevent an attack from a nuclear-armed Iran. The military has already asked for $56 million to explore the project, which would eventually cost $1.5 billion. Favored sites include Poland and the Czech Republic. Iran has no weapons that could reach Western Europe, but the U.S. is determined to make sure Iran has no capabilities for anything. This development is not sitting well with Russia and is expected to put a further strain on relations between the two countries, which are already quite fragile. 4 years ago, President Bush got on the bad side of Moscow when he pulled out of the 1972 Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, which was the bedrock for nuclear arms control. The Bush administration wanted to phase the missile system in Great Britain, but because the Iraq War has placed Prime Minister Tony Blair in such an unpopular position, that option was ruled out. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market.
No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Father, stop criticizing your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Don't you see that's what's wrong?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I am talking this morning to the Executive Director of Peace Action in New York State, and that's Melissa Van, and we're talking about her recent visit to Iran. And Melissa, you stayed in Iran for 2 weeks, correct?
Mm-hmm, 12 days.
12 days, and I want to get back to the cultural connections that you made when you were having your visit there in Iran. Where were some other places that you visited that were that amazed you?
We spent most of our time in Tehran, which is the capital, which is huge, and it was very interesting because I would say the women there, I work in New York City, and so I'm surrounded by very, very stylish and fashionable women all the time, and we have nothing on them. A lot of those women are dressed very well. So that surprised me.
Where do they shop? Because that's one of my issues. So where do they shop?
There's just a lot of stores there. When we got into the country, we needed to buy appropriate clothing. The dress code in Iran, my understanding, is that you need to wear some kind of covering over the top of your body that at least covers your rear end.
Mm-hmm.
And your arms, and then you need to have a headscarf on. And then within that, there are, a million different things you can do. So we would go into shops, and there were sequined things and patterned things and things with buttons and different fabrics, different cuts, different shapes. So we all got what we got. But, there were women wearing very tight things. There are women wearing very fashionable, very tailored, very stylish things. There are a number of designers in Iran right now that are making, very, very beautiful clothes that are well within the dress code but are just extremely elegant.
Well, did you feel restricted at all by the dress code?
I personally didn't really know. The coat I got, I actually like, and I wear it here at home. It's very cute. And the headscarves weren't so much of a problem, except that they kept slipping off my head.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wasn't really difficult for me to adjust to it. I don't know how I would feel if I had to wear it every day. Some people there definitely have a problem with it, and some people actively embrace it and even go further. There's something called a chador in Iran. Chador means tent, and it basically is sort of like a half circle sheet of fabric, generally black. The fabric can be very lightweight, different things, and oftentimes women will just put that over whatever they're wearing. They'll just drape it over their head and hold it in front of them. I had to wear one evening as we entered a mosque. I found it an extremely suffocating experience.
Mm-hmm.
I hoped that I never would have to do that again. But, I met women who said, listen, I don't have to wear this, and I choose to. And it seems like it's a very complicated choice. It's not that necessarily that you know, there's a totalitarian government forcing all women to do this, that nobody wants to, that it doesn't benefit them in some way. It's a lot more complicated than that.
Do women wear makeup?
A lot of women, a lot of the younger women wore makeup, yes. A lot of makeup, some of them.
Really? So you could find makeup at the stores as well?
Yeah, actually I lost my makeup over there and I had to buy makeup, so yeah.
Did you go to any of the, do they have things like nightclubs and places like that?
You know, I don't know. We didn't go to any nightclubs. We went to a couple of restaurants with live music.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was really great. And my understanding is that women dancing in public is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see any dancing, but I saw a lot of very lively clapping.
What was the? Did you have any troubling moments on your trip?
Yeah, I did. You know, we traveled as a group, and so people interacted with us in a very particular way in a group, as a group. When I went out on my own in the mornings for a walk, or, you know, me and a couple of female friends went out one evening. I found that the reception I got was quite different than in a group. And, you know, I didn't really know what to make of that. It was hard for me to know sometimes whether or not what I was experiencing was dislike or distrust or was, you know, just ignoring me, like you would have on the streets in New York City. You know, there was one time when a young man, it looked to me like he was walking and he was just going to run straight into me unless I jumped out of his way, for example. And then another time when somebody on a motorcycle was going around a corner and, in my mind, cut it very close. So, you know, I didn't know what to make of those, but they felt.
Did you feel any concern out exploring by yourself?
No, I didn't.
Did you even consider it when you went out by yourself?
No, it seemed fine. The cities there seemed very safe, and there were generally, you know, unless it was very, very late at night, many women on the street doing different things. Women are very much in the public sphere there, it looks like. You know, they were always on the street doing things. A lot of them, I don't know the percentage, but many of them work in very different jobs. So because the streets weren't gender segregated that way, and because, you know, it didn't seem like there was any crime and everybody seemed like they were doing what they needed to be doing, it felt very safe.
So your message that you bring back to America from Iran is what?
In a nutshell, that we should not trust the perceptions that we have. Our information about this country is very limited, and I would encourage people to, you know, open their hearts and their minds, try to find out more about these people, what's happening there, what do people want, what is the country like, that we don't wage war on our friends and our neighbors. War can only happen when the people cease to become people. And, you know, we have an obligation to make everyone in the world people to us, I think.
Where can people find out about your trip?
Fellowship of Reconciliation has a website. It's FORUSA, one word, .org. And there are group postings from our trip on that website. They also sent a delegation in December, and that delegation's postings are up there. And they're planning on doing more trips. They want to just keep bringing people over to help build the sense of humanity between both countries. So if people are interested in possibly going on one of these trips, they can also get information at that website.
Very good, Melissa Van. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you very much. I love your show, actually. I'm hoping to find it on the web. I'm really impressed with it.
Thank you so much. That would be www.wgnu.net or lizbrown.com.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There's another shakeup at the White House. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
Henry Paulson, CEO of the Wall Street powerhouse Goldman Sachs, has agreed to take the job of Treasury Secretary. The current secretary, John Snow, is resigning, as has long been expected. The economy is growing strong, but the White House has felt President Bush is not getting due credit. Paulson is a respected name, and his signature will soon be printed on all new American currency. And come to ABC News, the White House.
The new Treasury Secretary is being announced the same day as a funeral for a former one is being held. Lloyd Benson was also U.S. Senator from Texas. He died last week. Former President Clinton will eulogize him. Journalist Kimberly Dozier is at Landstuhl Army Medical Center in Germany this morning. Colonel Brian Gamble says the CBS News correspondent has a long recovery ahead of her.
She is critically wounded, as you know, from the IED blast yesterday. But right now she's doing as well as can be expected.
Dozier was hurt by a roadside bomb in Iraq. Her head and her legs were injured. Dozier's cameraman and sound technician were killed. One of the loudest critics on Capitol Hill of the Iraq war says the military better get to the bottom of an alleged massacre by American Marines as soon as possible.
With gunfire, they killed four people in a taxi, and then in addition to that, they went into the rooms and killed them. Now, I don't know how many were involved in it, but it's something that we cannot excuse.
Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha on ABC's Good Morning America. He says the incident in which 24 Iraqi civilians were killed could hurt the U.S. effort in Iraq more than the Abu Ghraib scandal. More aid is on the way to the victims of last week's earthquake in Indonesia. The death toll is now over 5,400. It's expected to rise. You don't smoke, but you love junk food? Well, a Dutch study says you may as well light up. Both bad habits can put you at risk for a lot of health problems, almost equally. This is ABC News.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Great deals on the hottest technology products this Memorial Day week? Then rush into Office Depot for amazing deals on everything from cameras to computers, like Toshiba notebook computers, starting at just $399.99 after mail-in rebate and while supplies last. Remember, this week you'll find great savings throughout the store. Office Depot means high tech and low price.
We first heard of Natalie Holloway a year ago today. The Alabama teen disappeared while on a high school graduation trip to Aruba. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey, who covered the story, says a year later there are still a lot of questions and very few answers.
Natalie Holloway was last seen by friends leaving a popular Aruban bar with three local teenage boys. Prime suspects for months, they admitted seeing her the night she disappeared, but insist they left her alive on a beach. Her mother never gave up hope and believed Aruban police would solve the mystery.
I just feel that they are getting closer and closer.
But despite countless leads, several suspects, and multiple searches, Natalie's no closer to being found today than she was a year ago. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Jurors in the Washington area sniper case will be trying to decide between a conspiracy theory put forward by the suspect and the prosecutor's evidence. John Muhammad is charged in 6 murders. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a Kirkwood woman is dead and her husband seriously injured after an accident near the Bosnian Festival in South St. Louis. Police say 57-year-old Jill Reiser died Sunday when a car swerved onto the sidewalk on Morgan Ford and struck her and her husband. The driver tells police he swerved to avoid another car that had pulled in front of him. There's no word on possible charges. Elsewhere, an Irondale man is dead after a motorcycle accident in St. Francis County. Missouri Highway Patrol reports 27-year-old Scott Porter struck a deer early yesterday morning on Route M. Porter slid off the road and was thrown from his motorcycle. He was pronounced dead at an area hospital. A close call for 14 people on the Mississippi River leads to citations against a boater. Authorities say a Jerseyville man's boat took on water and sank in the river near Orchard Farm in St. Charles County Sunday evening. The Coast Guard Auxiliary and other boaters rescued the man and his 13 passengers. No one was injured. The boater was cited for having his boat overloaded and boating while intoxicated. In Belleville, clergy sexual abuse victims are calling on Bishop Edward Braxton to monitor an admitted abusive priest more closely. Members of the Survivors Network of those abused by priests leafleted over the weekend at St. Peter's Cathedral in Belleville. The group says Father Rial Bork, who has admitted molesting children in two states, is living unsupervised in Belleville. SNAP wants Bishop Braxton to take steps to place Bork in secure facilities for child sex offenders. And finally, in Normandy, the school district is one of many districts taking part in a free meal program for low-income children. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services is providing free breakfast and lunch at various locations statewide in June and July. The program is available for children 18 and younger and as eligible disabled adults as well. For more information, call the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services at 1-888-435-1464. That's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Carpenter ants love the rain. It really tenderizes your wood. Don't worry, the Orkin man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. So protect your home, protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKINMAN. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, looks for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh, no problems there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to T.R. Hughes, look for slight delays. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570, westbound 64, and northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound King Bridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic there. 61 Highway at Highway AA. There's fallen power cables going on there between eastbound 30 between Maurer and 270. Look for stop and go traffic. And North Geyer and Partner, look for an injury accident, as well as Highway D at Double D. There's a vehicle on fire. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone like you. Great training and college benefits available. Find out more at goang.com. That's goang.com. goang.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms are likely. High in the upper 80s this evening. Mostly cloudy, good chance of showers. Low around 70. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely. High around 85. And Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 80. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies, 73 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting partly cloudy skies and 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the wake-up call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brother, talk to me sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brother, talk to me.
to you. You were born with power.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Or you can always find us at WGNU.net, where we are streamed daily. Also, the Wake Up Call, my show, is archived every show at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, you might want to check out LizBrown.com. There is much to talk about, particularly coming back from a holiday weekend like this. Lots of barbecues, lots of family activities, lots of visiting all kinds of festivals and events over the holidays. And I'm certain that many of you took along your digital camera. And some of you did well, some of you not so well. Some of you decided maybe I need to get a digital camera for all of these events that are coming up for the summer and beyond. Well, I know I found it challenging. I know that I had some questions. I know that I needed some help when I purchased my digital camera. Well, it's easier for you than it was for me, because Jim Mottke has written a book, Digital Photography, The Better Photo Guide to Digital Photography. How simple can taking great digital pictures get? Well, Jim is going to help us with that. And he's joining us this morning from Redmond, or from near Seattle. Jim Mottke. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend.
I had a wonderful Memorial Day. I hope you did, too.
Yes, I did, and thanks for having me on the show.
Certainly, and I want to talk about your book, because and I want to talk at the first part of this, because there are so many people out there that have digital cameras, but there are also so many more, I believe, that want to buy a digital camera, but they have no idea where to begin, because everything from our phones to actual cameras. What are the first steps that we should take when we're trying to decide whether to buy a digital camera, and then what kind to buy?
What a great question. I get asked all the time. With my work at betterphoto.com, I get asked all the time, what kind of camera should I buy? And the first thing that people should do is just think about what they're going to use it for. And think specifically in terms of, like, what are my interests? What do I really enjoy? Do I Do I think that, you know, it has to fit in my purse or my pocket? And then try to put that all together. And what I've done at Better Photo is develop a free web page where you can go and ask questions, answer questions like that, and then it'll come back and tell you what features and what cameras will best meet your needs.
Okay, let me give you some of mine, and then
Sure.
you tell me.
Sure.
I don't take a lot of photographs. Most of the photographs that I take are of places, not as many people as places, and I the size of the camera doesn't matter to me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. When would you say that you know, you might see yourself getting into photography as a creative hobby?
Yes.
Okay, then there are two different arenas or categories of camera. One is what almost everyone has. I'd say, you know, 9 out of 10 people have a compact digital camera. Now, these are great because they are very compact. They'll fit in your pocket. However, they have some serious limitations, and one is that you can't really grow with them as much. They're not as scalable as the other kind of camera, which is called a digital SLR, which stands for single lens reflex. Now, an SLR is a little bit bigger and sometimes pricier, but if you can handle the bulk, it will allow you to grow. It'll give you all sorts of creative options. And, for example, a lot of people with the compact cameras complain that they have a delay. They'll press down the button, and the camera won't take the picture. You know, it'll wait a couple seconds. This is extremely frustrating, especially when you are photographing your kids at the barbecue or, you know, any sort of moving subject.
And also, you're coming to the – most of us come to the familiarity with picture taking, not from digital cameras. We're used to the point and click and the immediacy of the non-digital cameras.
Yeah, exactly. So it's often a very disappointing surprise. That problem goes away when you get a digital SLR camera. However, you know, a lot of people, the bulk of the camera and the slightly higher price tag will make it be, you know, not a good option.
And what kind of pricey are we talking?
Yeah, good question. I knew you were going to ask that. A digital SLR, an entry-level one, costs about $800.
Okay.
So it does go up there. Now, a good compact camera, you're talking about $400 as an average. You can, of course, get one around $200 that'll do pretty well. But if you want some of those creative features, you know, and the faster shutter speed and a good lens, then you're talking about getting up into the $400 or $500 range. Now, the big thing that everyone's going to hear about are megapixels, and that is simply how many millions of dots the camera will capture. You know, a digital image is kind of like a mosaic painting, those paintings made out of all the little tiles. And each little tile is a little pixel on your camera, and then you put them all together and it makes a picture. And the more dots, the better, generally. But this is way overhyped. And, you know, when you go to buy a camera, all the camera manufacturers are going to be saying, you know, my camera has 8 megapixels, you need it, and you need to spend a lot more money. And you really don't. As long as you get somewhere in the 3 to 4 megapixel range, you should be fine for most purposes. The big deal with megapixels is more megapixels means that you can take pictures that you'll be able to print super big at home. So if you're okay with, you know, 4x6 or 5x7 print, 3 to 4 megapixels would be just great.
Well, what's the thing that everybody should focus on? When you buy a digital camera, what's the one thing that you really, really need to know about?
That's a great question. I think that if you are really interested in photography and you think, you know, you might want to take a class on it, or, you know, just enjoy exploring and discovering your creative side, then the most important thing is to make sure that that camera has what's called aperture priority exposure mode or a shutter priority exposure mode. Basically, make sure that the camera allows you to take the control, to take the reins when you're taking a picture instead of being fully automatic and it, you know, it knows better than you and it'll take care of everything for you. So you look for this thing called aperture priority, and what that does is that allows you to decide, okay, how much of this scene do I want to be in focus from the closest object to the furthest object? And that's a powerful creative option. And, you know, the more that you get into the creative, you know, student of the arts kind of side, then that's what you should look for. If that's not something of your interest at all, if you just want to take good pictures of your kids playing soccer or going backpacking or, you know, playing around the barbecue in the backyard, then I would just look for a very good zoom lens, something, you know, that gives you a good range. And probably most importantly of all, it just feels good and feels intuitive as you use it. And then, of course, the one other thing, if you can get a camera that has that fast shutter, meaning when you press down the button, it actually takes the picture, then, of course, that'll be an added benefit.
Well, how about the size of the memory card?
Yeah, that's a, basically, the memory card's kind of an independent option.
Tell folks what the memory card is.
Yeah, good question. The memory card is basically your film.
There you go.
Yeah, in the old days, you know, you'd have to buy a roll of film and take some extras with you. But with digital, you want a memory card, and there's many different types. The most popular now is called Compact Flash, and it's about the size of a little matchbook, and you slide it into a little slot, and they come in all different sizes, and the bigger, which allow you to hold many more pictures, of course, costs much more money.
But it is so worth it.
It is a great investment, especially if you do like to go places, like you say, if you do like to travel. The last thing you want to be doing while you're exploring England or Hawaii is to be deleting pictures as you go.
And I think what happens, what happened with me initially, you think that the small card's going to work for you, and then you discover the big card, you know, and you're like, you never go. I have these small cards that I have never gone back to.
That's
because
right.
You want the big card to hold as many as you want for exactly that reason.
That's right, exactly. And what size is your big card?
It's 200.
250.
It's 250. Right? Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a very common one, and that's a good, you know, that or 512.
And it's still not enough because I've gone to Africa a number of times, and it's not enough. It's really not enough.
Oh no, most definitely, especially when you're going on a big trip like that, and you know, I carry four cards. And the smallest is a gigabyte, which is four times the size of that card. So, and then the largest is 4 gigabytes.
Wow!
And I'll go through a 4 gigabyte card in a morning.
But here's the thing: I took a photography class a few years ago, before the digital cameras were really out, and one of the things that my instructor said was that you need to think of film at like tissue paper. That you keep taking pictures. Don't be afraid to use the film. That's when we were using film.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now with digital, it's really, really, really easy. You just have to relax and just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot.
That is so true. There's no more restraint. I remember that too, shooting film and having to remind myself that I'm not going to get back to this particular place.
There you go.
And the cost of getting back would be so expensive compared to a few more images. But you're right. That's one of the beauties of shooting digitally is we have this freedom. And the only drawback is that you have more photos to sort through back at home.
Fact.
Which is actually a good thing.
Yes, it is.
So it's,
and but you also have more fun things that you can do with the photos when you get them back home.
You really do. You know, you can, you know, if you feel overwhelmed by all the stuff, then you can just take your little memory card into a Walmart or a photo lab, and they'll take care of the printing for you. But
now, when I took my photo class, they always said, you know, you don't go into Walmart, that you develop your own picture because you decide that Walmart or all of those places, they decide where to cut and to crop.
That's exactly true, and Ansel Adams would be very happy to hear that. It's a sliding scale or a spectrum, and on the one end, if you really, like, it sounds like you and me both really like control, full control. You want to be able to tell exactly how your artistic impression is going to be cropped and the colors and the exposure, everything. And that's on one end. On the other end is convenience.
There you go.
You know, if you have a full-time job and, you know, you don't want another full-time job, and that's the truth, is that printing, it's not, you know, it is time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So I print all my own images and do the cropping and play with them in a digital image editing software called Photoshop, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a creative outlet. And I love having full control. You know, Ansel Adams used to compare the taking of a picture to the writing of a musical composition.
What do you think he would do in the era that we're in right now? How do you think that he would respond to this? What magic do you think he would bring to this?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. And I do know that he would love it. He saw the first hints of digital photography, and he expressed great enthusiasm for it and thought that it was going to bring a lot more control to people like it has. So, you know, it's so fun to think about, but I'll bet number one, he would be a Photoshop master.
That's a fact. That's a fact. One of the things that you say in your book is to take the camera with you everywhere you go.
Yes, exactly, and that sounds so simple, and it's so true, and that's why when people do ask me what kind of camera should I buy, I make sure that, first of all, the bulk of the camera is not going to be a problem, because it is much, much more valuable, of course, to take your camera with you, even if it's a small point-and-shoot compact camera. You know, the basic idea is, you're going to see things,
mm-hmm.
and you need a camera with you at all times, no matter what. So, you know, if it needs to be small, that's much better. I know many of my professional photographer friends do take, most of their images with a big, bulky SLR camera, but they also carry around a little compact camera, just for the purpose of, taking pictures of their kids, of course, or having fun. But they always have at least one camera on them.
And I have to agree with you that the hardest thing to get used to is not having the immediacy of that click.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
not
having that. Let me get to a caller or two, a question or two. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do.
Jim Motke.
It's very interesting what you're talking about.
Thanks.
Of course, I use a digital camera, and I know the mistake that a lot of beginners make is they get a low resolution image and then put it in their computer and blow it up, and then it just falls apart. You know,
that's a wonderful point to bring up.
I'm sorry. Well, Canon. But the point is, I think that the digital camera is putting itself out of the market for the ordinary people. Hello?
Yes, but because?
Okay. Because it's too complicated to use. As a matter of fact, I still use a pinhole camera to get black and white image, to get a tonal range that I don't get with a digital camera.
Well, that's a wonderful artistic endeavor, and it sounds like you're right in the same camp as Liz and I, that you enjoy the creative side of it. And you're right, you know, a lot of new cameras are extremely difficult to figure out. So I recommend that anyone, you know, considering going digital, does go to the camera store and really holds the camera in their hand and plays with the controls. and tries to get a sense of if it feels intuitive.
Mm.
Because,
and,
you know,
hold that thought, please, Jim, because we have to take a break.
Sure.
Feels intuitive. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Jim Modke. He's the author of The Better Photo Guide to Digital Photography. He's joining us from Seattle. You'll want to stay with us. We'll be back after this.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
Enter the underground world of the Rockwoods Cave in Wildwood on Friday from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Learn about a cave ecosystem and the importance of its wildlife. The hands-on exploration requires crawling on your stomach for several feet, wear long pants and a long-sleeve shirt, and bring a flashlight. Helmets will be provided. Program is limited to 25 participants. To register, call 636-458-2236. Underground news to you from WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive, and eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 between 141 and Lindbergh. No problems there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to T.R. Hughes. Look for slight delays. Westbound 270 at Old Hall Ferry and New Florissant. Look for slight delays as well. Northbound 270 is slow from Tesson Ferry to 44. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic westbound 40 between Dallas and Mason. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 from Clayton Staker all the way into Hanley. We've got some slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge, or westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. There is a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked and traffic is jamming all the way back to 3rd Street. Everything else looks pretty good this hour, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty breakfast sandwich. That's bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito, actually. Make it a combo with Sonic classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic is not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers today, high in the upper 80s this evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low around 70. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, high around 85, and Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, high around 80. Currently, we have 75 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 75 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DRLAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Recently declassified documents indicate Iraq was not the first time American intelligence dropped the ball. India had been working on nuclear activity since the 1950s, and the CIA had been monitoring them.
But when India tested bombs in 1974 and again in 1988, the U.S. had no idea they were about to be detonated. Jeffrey Richelson, senior fellow with the National Security Archive Institute, has authored a new book based on recently declassified intelligence documents. It's called Spying on the Bomb, American Intelligence from Nazi Germany to Iran and North Korea. And he'll join us Thursday morning at 9 for a revealing insight into the intelligence community.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
You don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this morning I am talking to Jim Mottke. He is the author of The Better Photo Guide to Digital Photography. He's joining us from near Seattle. Jim, welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And you were talking about when we make the decision of what camera we're going to get, and we walk into a store, and you advise us to touch them, to hold them.
Yeah, exactly. Hold them in your hand. You know, the deal is that most cameras are so automatic, and that's their problem. So you want a camera that will allow you to do the thinking, that will allow you to take over the controls. But you also need that camera, like the previous caller mentioned, to be easy, to be as simple as possible, because you're already going to be making so many choices when you're taking a picture that the last thing that you want to do is be overwhelmed with 100 different things to be trying to figure out. So I recommend that you hold the camera in your hand and you try to do a few things, like you just, you know, try to take a picture of the salesperson, or maybe try to just see what focusing is like and what putting it into a different exposure mode is like.
And the phrase that you used was intuitive?
Right, exactly. That's how I feel. If you're using this camera and it just seems to make sense, then you're going to be way ahead of the game.
The weight of it, the feel of it, the sound of it. I love, a friend of mine has one of the SLR cameras that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And I even love the sound that it makes when you're clicking it down and taking the picture of it. There are just, and you just, I guess you really just have to release yourself and feel creative and.
Exactly.
And
it's a very soul-filled sound, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's like the sound of a race car, you know, putting it into gear. It's just, it gives you a lot of soulful satisfaction.
Yes, it does.
And, then the one thing about this is if you go in and you pick up a digital SLR or compact camera and you play with it, and no matter what you do, you try all the cameras that the salesperson gives you, and none of them feel intuitive, have no fear. Many people, you know, are in the same boat with you. At betterphoto.com, we have, we do online photography courses. So anybody can learn from wherever they are. And what we've recently introduced are camera-specific courses.
Mm.
So if you have a camera or you're going to buy a camera and you're really not sure how to work it, we do have a solution for you, a four-week class that will allow you to learn how to use your camera.
And the other piece of it is that I really think that part of this whole photography thing is just releasing yourself to the creativity of it.
That is so true, and I love hearing that, because that's my whole mission in life is I feel that everyone deserves to say yes to their creative dreams. You know, when I hear someone say, I'm just not a creative person, that kills me.
It really does.
So, everyone has a creative side. It's there to be discovered. I had a student on one of my classes last time say in an email that she had discovered a side of herself that had been missing for many years, and that's the kind of thing that keeps me going.
A friend of mine, my same friend that has the SLR, he also has two little boys, and he has a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. He gives his SLR to his 6-year-old to take pictures.
Yeah.
And what it told me is that this is photographs. You are speaking to each other. You are communicating because the 6-year-old can take pictures of the 4-year-old that the parent could never see because there are expressions that are between the 6-year-old and the 4-year-old.
Oh, isn't that delightful?
It was magic. And just to see from his perspective, he's a gifted little boy. He's like his father. The 6-year-old is gifted in taking these pictures, but just the way that you can see how he relates to the world and communicates with the world, you can see that in the pictures that he takes.
Yeah, and I'm convinced that there is a huge key between memory and photos, and isn't that going to be such a blessing that as he grows up, he's going to have these views from his perspective.
His eye, his total eye. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it's going to be very memory strengthening. So.
And in fact, he went to his class. His teacher did a whole class on Ken's photos. It was pictures that Ken took.
Oh, isn't that great?
It really is. I mean, and now with digital cameras, a lot of parents can give their children that life experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's never too young to start. I think it's such a fun, creative thing, and it can be so easy. And one of the drawbacks of, you know, as you grow as a photographer is you're likely to buy new cameras.
Mm.
But the positive side of that is if you do have kids, you'll have this compact camera that you can give them. And say, you know, hey, this is your camera.
There you go.
Treat it with care and have fun.
Go and then go to the computer and play with it.
Oh, and then they'll again knock your socks off on what they can do.
So let's go to the computer. Let's talk about some of the things that you can do, some of the advantages of digital photography that you can do with on your computer.
Sure, exactly. Well, the first thing is, you mentioned it earlier, cropping. Mm-hmm. Cropping is basically trimming off the edges. And it's such a powerful tool because so often, you know, whether it's our 6-year-old or ourselves taking the picture, so often you're going to have all these distractions around your subject. And simply trimming the edges and zooming in on that one central thing that you're shooting will make your pictures really soar on their ability to impact the viewer.
So and also what it is that you want to communicate to the viewer.
Right, exactly. You know, the thing might not be in the center. Maybe you've taken a picture at a family gathering, and you just want to focus on this one family member, you know, and bring attention to them. So, you know, you can definitely focus in on what you want to communicate. And that's just the beginning. I find that every digital image that I take benefits greatly from some tweaking in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And besides cropping, the immediate things that I do to almost every photo is, one, is I often give it a little bit of a sharpening. Your photos are often, you know, generally sharp enough, but there's a little thing that you can do, a one-button thing that you can do in a program like Photoshop that'll make them just a little bit crisper. It's called an unsharp mask, which is a really backwards term. But basically, it masks the unsharpness and makes a photo that has a little bit more crispness. And then, of course, you can really go to town when you start playing with color and you make your photos a little bit more contrasty or a little bit more punchy. And,
can antique them, or you can black and white them.
Oh, yeah. And then you can really go to town doing creative effects. You can apply filters, like you say, that make them look like an antique photo or make them look like a mosaic painting or a watercolor painting. And It's so much fun.
And we have to take a quick break here, but when we come back, Jim, I would love to talk about one of the things that you say about keeping a visual notebook, and I'd also like to talk about these newfangled camera phones. I mean, phone cameras. Phone cameras.
Great.
Okay. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about the Better Photo Guide to Digital Photography, and I'm talking to Jim Motke. He is the author. Stay with us.
Look what I have.
Again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
WGNU presents Speaking Truthfully, a program examining current events from a Christian perspective and designed to provide a common-sense approach to overcoming life's everyday problems. Topics for discussion include health issues, the criminal justice system, as well as Christian counseling. Join attorneys Donnell Smith and Tanya McAlpine, along with Pastor James T. Morris, for Speaking Truthfully, every Saturday night at 8 on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. Brought to you by Shepherd's Rock Christian and Legal Counseling Services. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Bridgetown. Officials in Barbados are looking into the deaths of 11 men found inside a boat that was drifting in the ocean off the coast of the country last month. Investigators say the men are believed to be from Senegal and were likely trying to reach the Canary Islands near Spain. It appears all the men died from starvation and dehydration. Authorities also believe there were 50 people originally on the boat for the passage to Spain, and a Spaniard had charged the group over $60,000 to make the journey. Thousands of migrants attempt to cross the ocean from Africa each year, but an untold number perish at sea. And Dateline, Washington. Recently declassified documents show the FBI kept a file on the late comedian Richard Pryor. The surveillance on Pryor apparently began after he donated some money to the Black Panther Party back in the late 60s. The file also indicates the Black Panther Party contacted Pryor to do a benefit performance to raise money for legal fees back in 1969, but he apparently was not the first choice for a celebrity. The redacted memo says that whoever they wanted as first choice did not believe strongly enough in the Black Panther Party's ideals. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol and Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Hi, this is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, so come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Recently declassified documents indicate Iraq was not the first time American intelligence dropped the ball. India had been working on nuclear activity since the 1950s, and the CIA had been monitoring them. But when India tested bombs in 1974 and again in 1988, the U.S. had no idea they were about to be detonated. Jeffrey Richelson, senior fellow with the National Security Archive Institute, has authored a new book based on recently declassified intelligence documents. It's called Spying on the Bomb, American Intelligence from Nazi Germany to Iran and North Korea. And he'll join us Thursday morning at 9 for a revealing insight into the intelligence community. The information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
What's for work in 50 years from 9 to 5? Oh, while the boss is guzzling champagne and I'm building beer and some dive. Well, I want to be happy and free, living and
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This morning my guest is Jim Mottke. He's the author of The Better Photo Guide to Digital Photography, and he's joining us from Seattle. Jim, where can people get a copy of this book?
Well, they can get one from my website, betterphoto.com. They can get a signed copy, or they will find them in any bookstore and amazon.com as well.
And let me do it backwards here. I ended with saying that when we came back, we were going to talk about the new cell phone cameras.
Right.
How do we work these into to photography? Are these real pictures? Are these serious pictures? Can you take serious pictures with your phone?
I think so, but that's a fun question because my wife and I have an endless debate. She thinks that they're not cameras, and you can't really think of them as cameras. However, it's taking over the world. They're super popular. And what it is, you know, about, 10 years ago, I sold digital cameras. And when digital cameras first came out, they were like a current camera phone. They were the same sort of level of sophisticated technology. Mm. So they are coming into their own. And I think right now, this year and the next year, you'll start to see more camera phones that will allow you to have zoom lenses and hold the camera like a traditional camera.
Because I just bought a new phone, and it has video on it, and it has a digital camera on it.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to figure it out.
I know, and it is tough. I'm staring at my camera phone right now, too, and I haven't quite figured it out myself. And the deal is, though, is that it goes right back to what we were talking about before of taking the camera with you everywhere you go. I mean, isn't this going to be an amazing thing when the technology gets to be just a little bit better? You know, the megapixels are there on many cameras, but when it gets to be a little bit bigger, better, we'll be able to have the camera with us everywhere we go. And then, you know, if we want to get the super artistic, creative images, you know, we can use the bigger, bulkier digital SLR, but...
And just in a sign of how the times they are a-changing, at a graduation here in university graduation a couple of weeks ago, when people were walking across the stage, there were phones that people were holding up in their hands, and all of the kids were taking pictures with their phones. You know, I dare say the phones outnumbered the cameras.
It's uncanny.
The traditional cameras.
Yeah, they're ubiquitous. You know, they're all over the place, and it's the new world.
It really is. Now, you talked about keeping a visual notebook in your book. What is that?
This is so fun, Liz. It's basically that, you know, when I go out to take pictures, I always have to have my mind, my creative side, fueled with ideas and things that are percolating. So every so often, I go through magazines, and I just take images that really jump out at me, that inspire me. And I literally rip apart the magazines and take out the photos and put them into a binder, into little protective sleeves. And I encourage everyone to do that who's interested in exploring photography as a creative art. You know, get old magazines from your library if they're tossing them out, or your doctor's office, or your friends and family. Tell them that, hey, don't throw away your magazines. Send them over to me. And then when you're watching TV, you know, you're watching Donald Trump fire people, you know, go ahead and go through these magazines and rip out the photos that jump out at you. Then the next time you're going to head on out, say you're going to go to Africa, you'll have this binder of safari images. And you'll go, yeah, this time I want to try to get that shot of that giraffe that really knocks my socks off. Now, here's the trick, though. The thing is that when you actually get there on that safari vehicle in Africa, you kind of have to toss everything out the window. And that's the irony of it, is that you both have to do the work of doing this notebook, but then when it comes time to shoot,
you have to do your work.
Exactly. Everything changes and you're in a new situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it really, really helps.
Wow. And we have just a few more minutes left here. What are some other tips that you would give people in terms of the use of their digital camera?
Sure. Well, the biggest one is to look at your scene and analyze and try to be objective and go, what is it that really made me stop? And then think about that and then move in closer and try to figure out different ways to get different compositions of that scene. So often we look at a scene and we just want to capture it all and bring it all home, and we're abstracting this amazing experience and trying to put it into a little 4x6 print, and it just doesn't work. So you have to pick what you want to focus on, and then try to move in closer, try to crouch down low, go from left to right. Often I get up on a 3-foot stepladder and shoot down from a different angle. And
that's one of the pictures in your book where you get on a 5-gallon can and you look down at the and it is an amazing view that you get.
It is amazing what a few feet can do. And it's been such a treat. You know, I'm glad you enjoyed the book. So.
Well, and before you go, I also want you to talk to us about, with digital cameras, lighting. Do you have to view lighting in the same way? Is there more to consider now that you have a digital camera?
There's not more to consider, but yes, you do have to really consider it. You know, if you break down the word photography, the Greek words literally mean photo, light, and graph, writing. So you're writing with light, or painting with light is how I like to think of it. So light, to me, is everything. I can go out and be shooting the most beautiful subject, but if it's a really dark, overcast day like we sometimes get here in Seattle, it's not going to really work. Now, if it's the most ordinary subject and it's in a beautiful sunset golden light, you can make magic out of it. So it's always the light first and foremost for me. And the trick there, I just sort of hinted at, is there's three things. One is if it's a somewhat clear day, you really want to be out early in the morning. So it's perfect for the theme of your show. You want to get out early in the morning, and then you want to shoot in the late afternoon. And then the third thing that most people don't know about is that if it's a bright, overcast day, that's a wonderful day to take pictures of your friends and family. It's a beautiful, soft portrait light, much better than a bright blue sky sunny day.
Very good. And again, Jim, where can people get a copy of your book?
Betterphoto.com. And we have the book, and we also have these courses that I think people will really love. They get a photo assignment, they go shoot it, and I or someone else will critique your work.
Very good. Jim Motke, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Take care. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour to take your calls, your comments, your questions, your concerns, your observations, all that and much, much, much more. Stay with me.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's a low name.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There's going to be a new name on your money.
I'm pleased to announce that I will nominate Henry Paulson to be the Secretary of the Treasury.
The announcement is hardly a surprise, but it is another change at the White House. ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton is the latest.
As the head of the Wall Street powerhouse Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson comes to the job of Treasury Secretary with a reputation for toughness about banking and tenderness about animals and the environment. Last year, Paulson earned a reported $29 million. Now, as Treasury Secretary, he gets to have his signature on every newly printed dollar bill.
The nomination is subject to Senate confirmation. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier is at Landstuhl Army Medical Center in Germany. She was critically injured in a roadside bomb in Iraq. The hospital's commander, Colonel Brian Gamble, says Dozier has a long recovery ahead of her.
It's really hard right now to ascertain how much of a recovery period she will need or what the extent of her rehabilitation needs will be. It's really too early into the, you know, process of the trauma to know that right now.
Dozier's cameraman and sound technician were killed. One of the most vocal opponents in the war on in Iraq wants to know if the military deliberately tried to hide the truth after Marines allegedly shot and killed 24 Iraqi civilians in Haditha last year.
Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha is convinced the military chain of command tried to cover up the Haditha killings. And he said the November incident could do more damage to the U.S. effort to win the hearts and minds of Iraqis than the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse scandal.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. It was brake failure, that's what the military says, caused a road crash between U.S. troops and Afghan civilians in Kabul. At least 11 people are dead in the riots that followed. Security forces are keeping the peace today. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow's down 84 points. The NASDAQ is off 21. This is ABC News.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Looking for great deals on the hottest technology products this Memorial Day week? Then rush into Office Depot for amazing deals on everything from cameras to computers, like Toshiba notebook computers, starting at just $399.99 after mail-in rebate and while supplies last. Remember, this week you'll find great savings throughout the store. Office Depot means high tech and low price.
You don't usually get to see a movie if you go to a NASCAR race. Then again, most movies aren't Disney Pixar's much-anticipated Cars. ABC's David Blaustein got to see both at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
I'm just having the time of my life.
Comedian Larry the Cable Guy, one of the starring voices of Pixar's Cars. Disney Pixar got it done, premiering Cars in front of 30,000 people at the Lowe's Motor Speedway, including 6-year-old Ella.
I'm excited about seeing the movie, and I think I'll like it. It's my first time.
Back on the red carpet, Cars co-star Bonnie Hunt was in awe of her first NASCAR meets Hollywood experience.
They're pulling out all the stops. It's ridiculous.
Ditto for castmate Cheech Marin.
This is amazing, man. You know, one behemoth of NASCAR meets the other behemoth of Disney.
Cars opens June 9th. David Blaustein, ABC News, Charlotte.
Memorial Day may be the unofficial start of the summer, but it's a day after Memorial Day, and it's still snowing in the Cascades. That's making for an extra long season at Mount Hood Ski Resort in Oregon. Skiers aren't complaining a bit. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. And this report of WGNU News is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. I'm Peyton Golston reporting. Taking a look at the news, authorities in Florida still are not sure why an Alton, Illinois doctor killed his children and himself at a Miami Beach hotel over the weekend. Police say 43-year-old Dr. Edward Van Dyke threw his 4- and 8-year-old sons off a hotel balcony Saturday and then jumped to his own death. Van Dyke and his wife were celebrating their 10th anniversary but were said to be having marital problems. Van Dyke was the director of the Cancer Center at Alton Memorial Hospital. In other news, charges are pending against a man who allegedly abducted his 4-year-old daughter from Park Hills Sunday morning. A Sarah alert was issued for the girl after police say she and her mother were taken at knife point by the father. The suspect was arrested after a brief chase Sunday afternoon in Vienna, Illinois. Both the child and her mother were in the car and are reported safe. And finally, at this hour, the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services is sponsoring a program designed to keep kids healthy during the summer. The Normandy School District is one of the many organizations statewide taking part in the summer meal program and providing free breakfast and lunch to children 18 and younger, as well as eligible disabled adults. Melanie Madure, the State Health Department, with the State Health Department, explains why this program is important.
One of the keys to learning for children is that they receive proper nutrition, and if they go all summer without good nutrition, then they come back to school in the fall not ready to learn. So that's one of the really important parts of this program, is that it helps children be ready to learn when they come back to school in the fall.
The program is funded through the Department of Agriculture. Around $7 million was spent on meals last year, and Medora expects a 10% increase in spending this year. To find a participating location, go online to www.dhss.mo.gov or call 1-888-435-1464. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Buying or selling a real estate property, the first thing you should do is call an expert to guide you step by step. Be sure to ask if your agent is a Realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors. Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Golston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the International Guard. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, no problems to report there. Westbound 40 between Ballast and Mason, look for slow traffic, however. 61 at Highway AA, fallen power cables. So look for traffic to be diverted as all traffic lanes are shut down in that area. 44 on either side of 109. The traffic has been switched in the eastbound lanes due to road construction in both directions. Highway 61 and 70, look for road construction. In fact, there are several areas of road construction to just slow down in those construction areas. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge as well as onto the King Bridge, you can expect no delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Join the Air National Guard. To find out more, go to goang.com. That's goang.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, low around 70. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, high in around 85. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms to continue, low around 65. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Indicate Iraq was not the first time American intelligence dropped the ball.
India had been working on nuclear activity since the 1950s, and the CIA had been monitoring them. But when India tested bombs in 1974 and again in 1988, the U.S. had no idea they were about to be detonated. Jeffrey Richelson, senior fellow with the National Security Archive Institute, has authored a new book based on recently declassified intelligence documents. It's called Spying on the Bomb, American Intelligence from Nazi Germany to Iran and North Korea. And he'll join us Thursday morning at 9 for a revealing insight into the intelligence community.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me because we have so much stuff to talk about. And the local number is 454-0400, 454-0400. You need to get up. You need to get to me. This is nuts. Did you hear about this? This is nuts. This is nuts. If you live in California and you buy a Hummer H2 or a Hummer H3 or another vehicle like a Tahoe, a Suburban, or a Yukon, check this out. General Motors will give you a card that will let you cap your gasoline at $1.99 a gallon until the end of 2007. Isn't that something? What is the message in that? So those of us that are responsible and buy vehicles that are nice to the environment, those of us that are responsible in how much money we're going to spend on gasoline, you know, those of us that are interested in having a car that makes sense economically, environmentally, they're saying, oh, no, bump that. Mm-mm. As one columnist wrote, GM is leveraging lunacy. GM continues to look for new ways to foist us upon vehicles stuck in the teens in, when you measure out their street MP, their miles per gallon, and their highway. Now, the $1.99 a month comes, the $1.99 a gallon comes a month after Bill Frist said, I'm going to, remember this, how they insulted you? We're going to offer to give every American $100 rebate for gasoline. Shut up. $100 a gallon. $100 for gas. How many tanks would that do for you? He said this would ease the pain at the pump. No, it doesn't ease it. It's a stark reminder of how expensive gas is because of what you knuckleheads have been doing up there. That just is a reinforcement that $100 is meaningless when you're talking about filling up your tank. How's that for a reality check? It was so bad that the Republicans ended up sounding like the Democrats trying to run away from this proposal. I was never in favor of that, said Republican John Thune of South Dakota. It was bad politics and bad policy. John Sununu, I don't know what that was, but I don't know what the merits of that. I'm not in support of that, huh? And let's not walk away from the Democrats on this either, because those knuckleheads, the Democratic knuckleheads, I'm going to give $500 rebate for gasoline. Now, why don't you just make the price of gas go down? Or better yet, okay, you know what? I will pay $3 a gallon for gas if we have universal health care. I'll pay that. I'll pay $3 a gallon for gas. You give me universal health care. Give me something that works. $500. No, Democrats, honest to goodness. Honest to goodness. See, we need a new change. We need a change. And it looks like there's a change afoot. Looks like there's a change afoot. MoveOn.org. They're liberal. They ain't ashamed of being liberal. They endorsed political newcomer to Joseph Lieberman, Ned Lamont. The businessman who wants to unseat Lieberman largely because of his staunch support for the war in Iraq. Hello. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I have an aspect for you to consider about this General Motors deal.
What's that?
It's basically a shell game. And what I mean by that, if you will consider this, on this $1.99 a gallon, what they're doing is they're playing games with the prices of these vehicles. They're jacking it up. The consumer's paying for it anyway.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if you really stop and you think about it, I mean, no offense to you, and by the way, I enjoyed your previous hour. Fascinating.
Wasn't that good?
Yes, it was. But, you know, if you consider the prices of these Hummers, these Yukons, Denalis, and stuff like that, by the time that they turn around and mark the price up, these people, the public is thinking they got a heck of a deal. They're skipping out the building, and unfortunately, when they realize it, you know, they've already bought the vehicle, and at $1.99, well, guess what? They're still paying for it anyway.
But, and here's the other piece of it, Barry. This is only to 2007.
I understand.
You know, I mean, so that's no. First, they're doing as you're saying. You're already, the price of this is put into the vehicle. But secondly, then you're done. Then you have to start paying regular gas. What's gas going to be up to at 2007?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You know, I'm on the same page with you, okay? So I didn't want you to think that I was, you know, trying to downplay what you were saying. But in the sense that, you know, when gas reaches, say, $3.50 or close to $4 a gallon, by the time that this runs out, these people are not only are they going to be hit with that, But then the when they go for their property tax on these vehicles, wait till you see the bill on those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just thought I'd bring that to your
attention. I mean, so I guess what you're saying and what I'm hearing from you, Barry, is that, you know, you really have to do the fiscal, you have to be fiscally responsible with this because it is an expensive vehicle. And it's expensive to your pocketbook, it's expensive to the environment, and it doesn't make fiscal sense.
Yeah, one way or the other, they're going to get it out of you.
There you go.
You know, so
there
that's the short of the deal, but I just thought that I'd pass that on to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is, my toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. You're on the air,
Hello.
Kit.
Hello. Yes, Liz.
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Kit, and I know you're talking about the gas prices this morning, but I was hoping maybe we could turn the tables on a situation that's going on here in St. Louis at the Brentwood Junior High. I'm not sure if someone's called in on it yet this morning.
No.
Okay. Well, there's a situation, Liz, where it's the end of the school year, and they are taking the children to Six Flags tomorrow.
Okay.
And apparently several of the students, majority black, I say all black except for a couple of them, have been denied an opportunity to go to Six Flags because of behavior issues. And from what I understand, the children were given a script to read, to call their parents with, basically saying that, you know, I've had some issues with behavior, and because of this, I'm not going to be able to go on this field trip. There's about 70 students going on the field trip, and, you know, the black children are not able to go, basically. Majority black children are not able to go. So I just wondered if you heard about this.
Well, I guess I need more details on this,
okay.
Kit, in terms of what's the script, what does the script say? Do we have some, what I would call in the legal world, similarly situated white students that are going on, are being allowed to go on this trip? Or is it mostly all black kids that are not going on the trip? How does this work?
That's my understanding, Liz, that it is mostly all black children that are not able to go on this field trip.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the parents are in the process of trying to get a hold of this script so they can actually review it and see exactly what it was said. But it's really a horrible situation, Liz, because the children that are not able to go are being ostracized. And
what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, Kit?
Well, they're being separated from the other kids because they are going to go on the trip. You know, their parents are going to take them, these children that are being excluded.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like, you know, they're being ostracized from the other group.
Okay.
Differential treatment. I'm sure that maybe some of the other students that are going on the trip may have some behavior issues.
Mm-hmm.
And why are these other children that just all happen to be African-American being singled out?
And I would really like to see that. I'd like to see the script that the kids had to give, and I'd like to know why they had to give a script to the parents.
Right.
Have the parents met with the school? Have they talked?
As a matter of fact, they started that this morning. Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the principal was unavailable.
Mm.
So they are expecting to, you know, meet her by phone or.
When did the kids find out that they weren't going to be able to go on the trip?
Apparently, it was really like short notice, like just last week.
Mm.
And so what I'm understanding that, you know, the parents weren't given any notice or forewarning that their children were in this situation. You know, the only thing they got was a phone call from the kid basically saying, I'm a bad kid, so I can't go to Six Flags.
Mm.
That type of thing, I guess, when you
well,
put
I
it
guess,
down.
Well, I guess I would. I need to. There's a little bit more information I mean, it's an intriguing thing, and there's a little bit more information that I would like to have, and I would hope that one of the parents could get me some of that information.
Okay,
about
definitely.
That.
And
okay.
Can they fax that to you, Liz?
Absolutely. 454-6609.
Okay.
Or they can email it to me at revolution@lizbrown.com.
Great. All right, Liz, thank you. I'll keep you posted and give you more information.
Okay, and that's L-I-Z-Z Brown.
Right, got it.
All right,
okay,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. earlier you was talking about the FBI raiding this congressman's office.
Yes.
And I would say that they are out of control. I'd say the FBI in general, either their criminal behavior or they're acting like nincompoops. I know you've heard about the raid that the FBI did on this farm, and they said it was about 30 miles outside of Detroit, Michigan, looking for the remains of Hoffa after 30 years. And it seems like it was a bogus tip because they've using our tax dollars to hire forensic experts, anthropologists, and other experts. And they haven't found a thing. They've been out there for, it's almost 2 weeks now. And who, I mean, I want to know if they find anything, what are they going to do about it? Because probably anybody involved in this would be dead by now.
Well, I don't know if that's the reasoning that they should be looking at, Christine. I would ask the question of, in an era where we are pinching pennies, I mean, they're making us pinch pennies. They're saying that we don't have money for Head Start. We don't have money for food stamps. We don't have stamps. We don't have money for women that are going back to work and child care for them so that their babies are safe. We don't have money for any of that. But we have money for millions of dollars of our taxpayers' money to be focused on finding one dead person, one person that is dead. That, does that make sense? Is that a good expenditure of our money? Is that a good? And I thought that there's a terrorist on every single street corner. So we're up here digging up, trying to find Jimmy Hoffa's body with a tip that other FBI heads of FBI, the head of the FBI have dismissed. This is not a new tip. This is an old tip. So why are we doing this?
Well, they say that there's more than 50 FBI agents
That's
working
crazy.
On this.
That's
and,
crazy.
Someone made a joke to say that maybe the FBI is looking for the gold bridges and the work left from his teeth.
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. And maybe I've been too quick to jump on this, jump against this. I take it back because I guess if as long as they're digging for Jimmy Hoffa, they're not spying on us. So I say let's put all of the FBI digging for Jimmy Hoffa because they ain't spying on us if they're distracted over here with trying to find Jimmy Hoffa.
Like I'm going to say now, and every time I call your show, it's taxation without representation.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, it's like incredulous right-wing politicians saying that 100,000 is the same as the 82 million that Abramoff took from one Indian reservation. It's like comparing a bank robber to the mafia. But this is incredulous, Liz, right now. You have Robert Walker, who was one of Gingrich's right-hand men. You have right-wing lawyers, Bruce Fein, that was a great pusher of the Clinton impeachment. They are testifying now before Congress that this raid was a violation of the Constitution, and they are testifying again in front of Sensenbrenner, who is also extremely right-wing. But I'll say this to you, Liz. Sensenbrenner condemns the raid, and he will not pass the Senate bill to give 12 million illegals amnesty so they can then draw every social program and compete for jobs against the poorest among us since they're unskilled. So I join for maybe the first time with the right wing. They are so shocked and scared they are finally telling the truth and not the parroting of ideology and talking points. Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me. I'm going to be back after this. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while.
Professor Stephen Yates of the University of South Carolina is our guest Tuesday morning at 7. He recently wrote a disturbing dissertation on a plan the Bush administration is pushing to merge Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. into a single regional government, or a Western version of the European Union. It would create a huge free trade zone that would allow goods and people to move freely across borders, effectively doing away with domestic citizenship. How would such different political systems work as one entity? Some points to ponder Tuesday morning at 7 with Professor Stephen Yates, right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Check out Awaken to Yourself, Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire. Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
Go, girl!
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Recently declassified documents indicate Iraq was not the first time American intelligence dropped the ball. India had been working on nuclear activity since the 1950s, and the CIA had been monitoring them. But when India tested bombs in 1974 and again in 1988, the U.S. had no idea they were about to be detonated. Jeffrey Richelson, senior fellow with the National Security Archive Institute, has authored a new book based on recently declassified intelligence documents. It's called Spying on the Bomb, American Intelligence from Nazi Germany to Iran and North Korea. And he'll join us Thursday morning at 9 for a revealing insight into the intelligence community. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on your television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's run up, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
Cause every day will come.
Oh, keep your head up, keep your head up. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm going to get back to this amazing thing that is going on with this challenge to Joe Lieberman. I'm hoping that it's not simply because of Joe Lieberman's positions on Iraq. while those are all great reasons to go after him, but it's Joe Lieberman, and his positions are far more problematic than just his position on the war. What is happening is that there is a liberal challenge to Senator Joe Lieberman. And that liberal challenge escalated. It started with a man by the name of Ned Lamont, a businessman, who decided to go after Lieberman because of his position on the war in March. And Ned Lamont, nobody gave him a chance of doing this. What has to happen in Connecticut is, in order for a Democrat to have a Democratic senator to have a contender, a challenger in the Democratic primary, there has to be a vote of all of the little townships that gives the person that wants to be a challenger to the Democrat at least 15% of those township votes. Well, Ned Lamont started in March, and he got 33%. 33%. 33% of the township votes. That's a huge blow, because Joe Lieberman spent millions of dollars prior to that vote to remind people of how wonderful he is. Well, it didn't work, nor should it have. So Ned Lamont is now on the ballot to be an official challenger in the Democratic primary to Joe Lieberman. Move On, their political action committee, gave their support to Lamont. They announced its backing after they polled the Move On members in Connecticut. And Move On, who is Move On? Move On has emerged as a leading voice for liberals. Move On's endorsement makes it the first time that its PAC has sought to unseat an incumbent Democratic senator. See, now, if you're going to say, if you're going to engage in types of rhetoric, this is the rhetoric that you need to, let's get this on. Okay? Lamont's message resonated with members who want a senator who will stand up to Bush on key issues and represent the views of most people in Connecticut. That's the executive director of Move On PAC. With the endorsement, the group will seek to raise money and generate volunteers for Lamont among Move On's 3.2 million members nationwide. Lamont also received an endorsement from Democracy for America, a liberal grassroots group. They're the people that got money for Dean. Oh, this is a big deal. This is for Howard Dean. This is a big, big, big deal. And Lieberman needs to be very concerned. According to Democracy for America, getting 33% at a convention is very impressive. But Friday's endorsement is even bigger because it shows grassroots and money. There is something behind Ned Lamont. It's big. It's huge. And if Lamont and all of his supporters succeed in ousting Lieberman, it would be devastating to the Democratic Party by saying, you know what, we're not, when you stay in the middle of the road, when you call yourself a middle of the roader, like a DLC people like Joe Lieberman, shows that you'll get hit by the bus. This shows that Move On is trying to, now those that are opposed to Move On are saying that this shows that the Move On is trying to precipitate a civil war within the party. Indeed, a civil war within the party. Well, slavery was wrong. Enslavement was wrong. Somebody should have been fighting it. And Joe Lieberman is wrong, and somebody should be fighting him as well. There's no question about it. He's wrong, too. Enslavement was wrong, so was Joe Lieberman. They also say that primaries are a healthy part of a democratic process for a reason, so voters can choose who represents them rather than letting the chattering class of Beltway insiders decide. And if supporters of the war in Iraq, that includes Republicans and Democrats, if they're in they're in electoral trouble, it's probably because a majority of the American people in this country think it was a disastrous mistake to engage in a preemptive war. So how has Joe Lieberman, how has he responded to Lamont's challenge? He says, I'm for abortion rights. I'm for a clean environment. That's all you got, baby? That's all you bring into the table, abortion rights and the environment? That's a given. That's a given. That's all you got, sweetie? Oh, that's a given. It's going to be fun. This primary is going to be fun. It is time. It is absolutely time that centrists like Joe Lieberman and Hillary Clinton, and I don't even want to call them centrists. Let's just call them what they are, Republican lights. They're pro-choice Republicans. Let's just be clear. And that's not enough. That's not enough. 1-877-920-WGNU. And here's the joke. Or let me just say it this way. When you are shown who and what a person is, when they show you who they are, when people show you who they are, believe them. Let me say it again. When people show you who they are, believe them. At the same time, almost at the same magical moment that Joe Lieberman's words were in the air, I'm about democratic values. Huh, really? At the same time his words were still floated in the air, he was at a Washington dinner receiving an award from the Committee on Present Danger. Who's the Committee on Present Danger? A hawkish foreign policy group whose membership includes prominent conservatives and leading supporters of the war from both parties. Hello. Hello. When people show you who they are, believe them. Joe Lieberman should be challenged. Joe Lieberman should be beaten. Joe Lieberman should not be in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party should oust him. There is no middle of the road, because your definition of the middle of the road is Republican light. And there has to be, in a democracy, an opposition party. There has to be an opposition party. And if you're not in opposition to the other side, if you are not standing on the principles of your party, then it's time for you to be challenged. It's time for you to be removed from your position. Period. Dot. Simple as simple. That's simple math. That's 1 + 1 = 2. That's simple, simple math. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. We're going to have, I'm going to be picking my interns this week. Been through a long interview process. I'm very excited about it. We're going to have some really fun ones. We're going to have some really, really, really fun interns this year. I'm looking forward to it. My last set of interviews this week. And we're going to rock and roll this summer. So I thank you all for applying, sending your resumes out, and contacting me. I'll be making my final decision this week. Dimitri.
Hi. I hope you'll forgive me for calling a second time. But rather than put my fist through the wall, I just would rather ask you the question and resolve this. The question is, Liz, I don't know if you can answer it, but I'll do it very quickly. I understand that when Joe Lieberman ran for vice president, the question was raised about the fact that he held dual citizenship with Israel. Could you tell me if that's true or not? I'll hang up and listen.
Dimitri, I don't have the answer to that. I will check on it during the break, though.
Huh?
I will check on that during the break. I don't have the answer. I will check on that during the break.
Okay. Thank you, Liz.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. I'll be back.
To register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Niamey. The government of Niger has decided to move up the official retirement age to 60 in order to slow down the loss of experienced workers throughout the country. 6 years ago, the mandatory retirement age was lowered to 55, but that move was unpopular because it lowered standards in the health and education portions of society, plus it took productive breadwinners out of the workplace, putting a hardship on thousands of families. Niger is the poorest country in the world, and people have a life expectancy of only 44 years. It also has one of the highest infant mortality rates in the world, where over one out of four children die before their fifth birthday. And Dateline New Delhi. India and Bangladesh report a severe shortage of electricity. High summer temperatures are making life miserable for millions in those countries. Small-scale riots by farmers in Bangladesh who can't get electricity to help irrigate their fields has led to violence that's resulted in 17 deaths. Bangladesh leaders say the lack of sufficient electricity is threatening the garment industry there, which is responsible for most of its foreign exports. Industry analysts say both countries have failed to spend the money to increase electrical generating capacities. The World Bank has not given any help with the issue for about 20 years, and nearly $3 billion is needed to improve generation and distribution systems. Even in the capital of New Delhi, it's not unusual for residents to have no power for as long as 10 hours a day. And in some rural areas, electricity is usually available for about 2 hours a day, if at all. Nearly 50 power plants in the region are under construction, but they're way behind scheduled completion dates. Officials in Pakistan, Nepal, and Sri Lanka also say power shortages are likely this year as well. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas cheer. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a marriage ring and a pomegranate.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's A Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Les Brown.
I want a real shot, hey. Diggy, a real shot, hey. Come on, a real shot, hey. Diggy, a real shot, hey.
I said I came to hear
a real shot, hey. Diggy, a real shot, hey. Come on, a real shot, hey. Diggy, a real shot.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. As to our caller's question about whether or not Joe Lieberman has dual citizenship with Israel, I've been able to find that people have said that, and I've been able to find that people have denied that. I haven't been able to find anybody that can confirm that. So that is still a question in my mind. So I do not have the answer to that question. Secondly, with regard to just the whole idea of going after Joe Lieberman, I think it's a fabulous thing for progressive liberal folks to go after someone who is clearly... If the Republicans say that, if the Republicans had a meeting to discuss whether or not they are going to endorse a Democrat, to discuss it, there's a problem there. And it's a problem from the perspective of they're supposed to be an opposition party. You're not part of the opposition. The opposition likes you and likes you for your positions. Now, they don't like you for your honesty. They don't like you for your civility. They don't like you for your intellect. They like you because your beliefs and your policies and your worldview is like theirs. That's not a good kind of like. One, you know, I guess some people think, how could there be a bad kind of like? That's a bad kind of like. If you are supposed to be the opposition party and the opposition likes you because of your policies and because of your beliefs, you're not an opposition party. You're not. It's so cool if they like the way that you cut your hair. That's cool. That's fine. It's okay if they like the way that the suit you wear. That's cool too. That's superficial stuff. But if they like you is because your beliefs are in line with theirs. We're talking about political beliefs. There is a problem with you. And you shouldn't be in a leadership position. You should not be there. This is the time that we need an opposition party. We don't need someone to tell Democrats, a Democrat to tell Democrats to hush up in their criticism of George W. Bush. That person should not get to keep their job as a member of the opposition party. Period. Dot. And did you hear that Tony Blair is thinking about becoming Kofi Annan? You hear that that rumor has it. Word on the street is that he wants to be the head of the UN. Huh. I would wonder, first of all, that why we would have one of the big five as the head of the UN. I would wonder why we would have the head of the UN, a person who said we don't need any stinking UN decision before we decide that the United States and us decide to go into Iraq with a preemptive war. Why would you have some? My mistake. God, I need to do a better job of remembering things. We would have, as the head of the UN, a person who says the UN has no stinking business in deciding whether or not a nation's going to engage in a preemptive act of war on another nation. We would have that person as the head of the UN, the same way that we would have John Bolton as our representative for the UN, who believes that the UN should be blown off the face of the earth. Or if it was, it wouldn't be a bad thing. I guess that's where that line of thinking comes from. But prior to trying to tee up his attempt at this $400,000 a year gig, perhaps Tony Blair can explain to us why at least 1,000 troops have deserted. 1,000. Have deserted the armed forces since the U.S.-led war was launched in Iraq 3 years ago. And I'm not talking about Americans. I'm talking about British soldiers. 1,000 of them have deserted. During 2005 alone, 377 people deserted and are still missing. That's according to the BBC. And they said that on their website. This year, another 189 are on the run. Lawmaker John McDonnell told Parliament on Monday that the number of abscondees, they say fun things in England, they're called abscondees, have trebled since the invasion of Iraq. And this is the registration, Tony Blair needs to explain why 1,000 people have, there are 1,000 abscondees in the British Army. The BBC cited lawyers who represented troops at court martial hearings, saying that the growing number of soldiers are seeking advice from them about avoiding service in Iraq, even if they want to stop short of deserting. Ben Griffin, a member of the Elite Special Air Service, that's the SAS, that's their special forces in Great Britain, told his commanding officer this year that he was not prepared to return to Iraq because he said he saw U.S. forces carrying out what he thought were illegal acts. And guess what? They let him leave. Ben Griffin told the BBC that he believed many other British troops shared his view, although he would advise them to speak out rather than desert. Tony Blair has a lot of splaining to do. At least 1,000 British troops have deserted, absconded, stepped away, taken a stance against this war since this illegal occupation, this preemptive strike, began 3 years ago. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not the King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air, tell me, brother.